I'm not afraid of the gray area or the darkness that's around a few inches in front of your face, which is really what this business is all about.
That's the voice of Constantine Theodoropoulos, founder and CEO of Cambridge, Massachusetts-based Go Therapeutics. Listen in now to hear my conversation with Constantine about leadership in biopharma and his work to develop tumor-specific cancer drug candidates. I'm John Cimboli. You're listening to BioBoss. Today I'm in Cambridge with Constantine Theodoropoulos, CEO and co-founder of Go Therapeutics. Constantine, how did you find yourself here at Go Therapeutics?
Well, first of all, good to see you, John. It's always an interesting question. So like everything in my life, there was never really a point A to point B type of road traveled. But in the terms of Go, you know, I've been in the life science industry for quite a while, working with all stripe of company, from diagnostics to reagents to, you know, therapeutic development organizations. But nonetheless, some years ago, maybe now 7 years on now, I was working to develop a diagnostic test for Lyme's disease, which is obviously a big problem in the Northeast, as you're well aware.
Yes, unfortunately. Okay.
And so the idea there was to really develop a diagnostic that would be a really rapid test and be able to, diagnose the type of infection that a person has that is from a tick-borne vector. And it's through that work that I came across what happened to end up being my co-founders in the company, who were researchers in glycobiology. And it was through that interaction that it became apparent to me that there was really a real substance to the science that suggested that it could really solve a couple of problems that of our extreme importance now in cancer therapies, which is, you know, nothing new, and that is really toxicity, right? So if you can imagine in cancer therapy, you know, even today, you got to essentially kill the patient to cure them, right? And the toxicities involved with chemotherapy, the side effects of radiation, we're all really aware of what they do to a person, right? And now treating them with all manner of, you know, small molecule or large molecule drugs have the same issues. They're really off-target toxicities that, and you know, cause very severe complications and sometimes death. So really, what here became very apparent through my interactions with my partners, that O-glycans, or in this case, truncated sugars, to put it in a different way, that reside on the cell surface are very cancer-specific. And it really was this idea around if you can take advantage of that knowledge, which has been an established fact for 30 to 40 years in academic literature, if you could take advantage of that and harness it in a therapeutic sense, you could really then make a dent in the toxicity issue for cancer therapies. And that was really the idea at its base, right? Is how can we take advantage of that? And so we put together Go Therapeutics to really leverage the strong understanding around O-glycans and then build a tool set that would be able to work with them, to work with O-glycans, really understand where they are in the cell surface, but then more importantly, how to develop an antibody against them. An antibody that would have the required characteristics to be a therapeutic downstream. So would it be specific, recognize this O-glycan or glycoprotein? So I have to be clear here, we're really targeting a short glycan in association with the protein. So it's really an epitope that is mixed. Really working out, you know, how heterogeneity plays a part here. Are these really viable as targets therapeutically? can you develop an antibody against them that would give you a real selective means of targeting or arming an antibody or use it as a way to recruit the immune system to kill a tumor? So these things need to be worked out. And so we spent, you know, the first years really doing that part. And so over the past 5 years, 5 to 7 years, frankly, you know, we built this platform that allows us on one end to really understand where these O-glycans are on a given protein, develop an antibody against it, an antibody that would have, you know, low affinity, is very selective to that epitope. And then thirdly, functionalize that antibody or develop that antibody into a therapeutic so that it could deliver a drug or it can recruit a T cell into killing the tumor in which these O-glycans reside. And so that's really what we've been working on.
Do you remember in those early moments when you became aware of some of the ideas in conversation with your co-founders, can you recall it as it being either, I've heard this both ways from CEOs and founders I work with, some say, you know, I had to think about it, I was looking for something, I had to weigh a bunch of them that were similar, and then others have said, this thing, right away I knew this was the thing I wanted to explore. Did it fall in either of those categories for you?
Yeah, so that's a great question, by the way. You know, I've always wanted to have the same thought with other, you know, entrepreneurs. Is it aha moment or is it just osmosis that come to you? In this case, it really was profound for me, simply because I had been really working with a variety of companies. And I recall going for years now to different conferences in both oncology related conferences, but more, you know, general biotech conferences. And, you know, in every oncology panel, I mean, the problem is the problem. No targets, you know, and with the advent of some of these really exciting modalities in cancer, such as CAR T or even ADCs, which are antibody drug conjugates, or T cell bispecifics, you know, they offer such great promise, frankly, you know, but they are severely limited by two things. One, are they going to be efficacious? Will they hit this target, number one? And if they do, to what extent is that target exhibited or expressed on healthy cells, which will then lead to you know, off-target effects? And that's really the big problem. So at every meeting, it became clear as day as what to me was a big roadblock to really being able to push this field forward, to take advantage of targeted therapies or even immunotherapies and the combination thereof. And so when I you know, came across what ended up becoming Go Therapeutics, it hit me like, you know, a bolt of lightning. It's like, well, you know, if these really are specific to a cancer cell and the data suggests, or at least some of the experiments have suggested, you can develop an antibody to it that would be very selective to that antigen, then the rest is engineering, man. You know, then this is worthwhile. Frankly, this could open up a whole new biology, frankly, for cancer therapies. So for me, it was really, you know, as you see, it's like you see in a TV movie, it's like, pow, you know, there it is, I'm doing that, right? And so, yeah, I mean, for me, it was an eureka moment, right?
It sounds like you had explored the territory enough from enough perspectives that it must have occurred to you, I'm guessing, that, you know, I could take this idea and I could explore this with an existing biopharma company that would have some of the infrastructure built in, or I can do it the hard way and I can build something from scratch. How did you work through that?
Also a good question. It's really a combination of both, right? I think at the beginning, you just have to assume it's going to be the hard slog. You just have to go into it. It's going to be a long, hard campaign. It's going to be a constant battle. Every day is going to be a slog. You just have to go in with that mindset. At the same point in time, you know, our initial strategy, which I'm happy to say worked, was that we really need to work with a big pharma here to really accelerate the translation of the science. And by virtue of doing that, we will both be able to validate what we're doing on a large scale, but also in terms of the company, but simultaneously really be able to advance the science in a far quicker capacity than if we were just to continue to take, you know, one step forward, two steps back as a small company. So we took that strategy, and we ended up doing a relation, having a deal with Roche around the development of a T-cell bispecific that took advantage of one of our first antibodies that we made to a target. And happy to say that it's progressing quite nicely. But, you know, moving forward, I think, you know, I think as a small company, you have to take, I think you have to take advantage of the need within the marketplace and within the big companies. And if there is a synergy on that level, you have to take advantage of it. And for us, it was really a key strategic stepping stone to being able to bite off more and more of the development process, which is what we're doing now. So as we sit today, rather than rely wholly on a partner to take on the burden of developing what we produce, i.e. these antibodies that are very specific to these cancer-specific epitopes, we are actually developing them ourselves in the context of a CAR T to really generate some functional data, in vivo data, and ultimately take it to a patient. It has occurred to us, at least, that in order to really drive the science to where we ultimately want to take it, which is to get it to a patient, you know, we have to take on more of that process, more of that development process. Because after all, it's really, nobody cares about it as much as we do, right? And although our pharma partner's been great, and we hope to do more with them, at the end of the day, you know, we have to be responsible for moving it ourselves, right?
What were you hoping to achieve that you could do here that you said to yourself, I can't do this any other place?
Well, for me, it wasn't necessarily that kind of option, right? I didn't have a lot of options. It wasn't, I can't do it here, I can do it here. It was, there was no choice, frankly, you know, because it's a new area of science, at least as far as the application in cancer is concerned. I think there's a comes with a lot of risks, inherent risks from a business standpoint, obviously. So, you know, you can't do it at another place, really. You really have to build a team around the idea that is really there to de-risk scientifically the premise, and, you know, surround yourselves with a small team of experts and the capabilities to be able to weed those out. But also comes with, you know, having financial partners that are also willing to accommodate that level of risk, and that rules out a big swath of potential places where you could do it. So it's a natural fit to actually start a small company around doing it. So for us, it really wasn't even an option. We just said, this is the way we have to do it. This is the only way we're going to be able to really translate this in a way it will be done right, because nobody knows the science like we do, obviously, and that's why we exist.
Can you remember when you were a kid what your image of, when I grow up, this is what I'm going to be?
You know, so I know people who actually had real clear vision of what it is that they want to do at an early age, where they want it to be. I really have to confess I had no such clarity as a child. You know, I would have been happy to become, you know, I think with a lot of people my age and cohorts, a professional baseball player, you know, something like that. But it became clearer as you go down the line what your personality is fit for, you know, what, how you work, the people who you like to work with, the kinds of situations where, you know, you tend to thrive in. And for me, those things got worked out over, you know, a relatively long career as a consultant and working in some companies. You know, it's no easy way, but you learn to put yourself in the context where you can deliver the most, you know, value, so to speak. And for me, it became really clear that it's in really, you know, it's in a startup environment. It's where you really are flying blind a lot of the time. I you know, some people really don't like that. I don't seem to have a problem with that. but it's not for everybody, but for me, it really works. I really enjoy it. And I like discovering things, and I like, you know, problem solving, and I'm not really all that deterred from the lack of a real safety net, you know, that's real, right? I'm not the most introspective person, you know, but my wife always kind of tells me that, right? She just says, look, you know, you're just not built for that. You know, this is, and I've been around people who, you know, they're saying, well, you know, you should do that because that's way risky. You know, like, you don't have a problem with that. And I'm not afraid of the gray area, you know, or the darkness that's around, you know, a few inches in front of your face, which is really what this business is all about. I have to tell you that this biotech business is really not for the faint of heart, because, you know, failures happen all the time. The successes are far too few. It's always, you know, step, you know, several steps forward, many steps back on a daily basis. And you're really working in a realm that, at the end of the day, we just don't know a lot about, you know, the information, we're learning more and more every day, but, you know, it's still a big mystery, especially in oncology, right? So you just have to go, you just have to be really aware of that kind of environment. And it's really not for everyone. This is an industry where time really is the key factor. Because right now in the age that we're in biotech, and even from our small vantage point, we're really working on engineering problems. You know, the basic science around our biology, you know, we're working it out. We're learning, you know, I think we got a lot of it figured out. There's still big gaps, but nonetheless, now translating that into therapeutics is really an engineering problem. You know, and engineering just takes time and smart people and money. You know, at the end of the day.
And lots of opportunities to find what doesn't work.
Correct. So that's really it. So it's really time. And you just need to be around. You have to ensure that you're going to be around in the time frame it's going to take for you to really get to the, you know, the end, which is a therapeutic that's going to help somebody. And that's a long time frame. It's going to take a lot of money for sure. But thankfully, we live in an environment now where those things are available, right? The risk capital is there. The networks are there to help you along. You know, it's not like it was 20 years ago, even, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, it's really kind of interesting landscape now.
Because you're operating on these many different levels and with many different skills and all happening simultaneously, imagine from time to time people that you don't know approach you, family, friends, whatever, and say, what do you do? You know, what? And that's probably not an easy thing to answer, but how do you answer that?
Well, I certainly don't talk to them about glycobiology, that's for sure. you know, so simply, we're really into targeted therapeutics, really. So we're really trying to develop a new class of oncology therapeutics, really simply. So therapeutics that will exclusively target the tumor, be able to kill the tumor without killing the rest of you, right in the process, in a very simplistic way. That's really what we're trying to achieve here. And our biology that we're exploiting gives us a chance to do that, right? We're working that out now. But the data suggests that, you know, it's not a pipe dream, that in fact we can do this, and the rest is engineering.
How about a little kid, an extended family, someone who doesn't really know you but knows you're in the family, says, well, what do? You personally, you could say, I'm a big shot, I'm a CEO, but how would you answer something like that?
I tell them I work with really smart people who are really trying to develop new medicines. That's really what I do. And frankly, that is my job, right? I mean, it's really my job in this current context to be like of service, right? I'm not the guy at the bench. I'm not the CSO. I don't have the bright ideas around how to make the science work. But I'm there to help put it all together. I'm there to make sure they have everything they need to perform. And, you know, and really be of service to the ultimate mission, right? And that's really the way I view myself right now. But at the end of the day, you know, I would tell somebody, a young person who asked me now, that, you know, I happen to be working with some of the most incredibly smart people on the face of the planet, working out on the most fascinating and most interesting topic in the world, which is solving some very deadly diseases.
And with a potential to help people in the most profound way. In this job, what have you learned, in this setting, I should say, what have you learned about your management style that works best? It may be similar to what worked before, it may be different. But...
So I'm a really firm believer. So number one, I think, given the type of company we are, the size of the company, or the problems we're truly trying to solve and figure out, that you really have to create a really safe environment, but you also have to give a lot of power over. You have to really empower the heck out of everybody who's there. You know, from their most junior person to the most experienced, I really try to enforce or reinforce the fact that we're all essentially equals here. You know, we cannot achieve what we're trying to achieve in a top-down hierarchical organization, as obscene as that is for a company that is under 10 people, okay? But I've seen that before, right? I think here it really is a jazz ensemble that everybody has a big contribution to make, no matter how big or small, because that's the only way we're going to really move this forward. I mean, this is not insurmountable, and it's going to take a lot of different, it's going to take a huge effort from a lot of people with a lot of diverse skills, and we're going to need all of it, right? And so I really try to, you know, create an environment whereby people feel safe in what they're doing, that take risks, not even more risk, but, you know, be able to self-manage, do the things that they think need to get done within reason, obviously, and really problem solve, you know, which obviously takes a mindset of taking risks to some degree, but also requires some level of confidence in what you're doing. And ultimately, you know, if you're working with us, we have confidence in you, so do it, you know. But I think the companies that I have seen and have worked in that have been able to really do great things on a small scale, even large scale, is create an environment where they're essentially working for each other, you know, at the end of the day. And I think it's tough to create. You have to really care about their coworker, have a relationship there. And I think that's really what you have to try to encourage and create.
Companies that when they're getting started are often, you know, 5 or 10 or 12 people. And I was thinking how I remember reading about someone who said that the reason that a platoon is 12 men or women is that any bigger and you don't have that same cohesion where the person cares deeply about the person next to him.
I think there's probably a ton of truth in that, right? I mean, and it's no secret. That's what every company is trying to do. However large, they're trying to break it down to smaller functional groups, right? That's just the way human nature is, right? But that's also the way you advance problems, you know, especially when you start out with big ones. You just need a really tight team that is going to put a lot of effort in, and it's going to require a lot of trust in one another to go ahead and take the risks that you need to take along the way to solve it, right? I think that's ultimately what it's about, right? And that's really what you try. You try to create an environment where you can encourage that and sustain it, you know, and hope you never lose it. But at the same point in time, you know, it has to be open to evolution, because the problems change. Therefore, the people need to change, and their skill set needs to change. It's part of the way it goes. And the other part is, and I will find this, right? I find myself having to remind the people who work at Go of what we're in this for. You know, you get so focused on a particular thing that you lose sight of what the end goal is. And I try to make reminders, you know, and I don't encourage it, but I do suggest visiting an oncology ward if you can. You know, you want to see what we're in this for, go there, you know. I've been there. And, you know, it's when you're there, you really get it, you know, that this is not about a small thing that the mission here is a little, you know, is A, worthwhile, but certainly worth the sacrifices you're making along the way.
It must be really a test to be in the moment so focused on the details and yet have that perspective to keep reminding yourself, like, these details add up to something potentially, you know, life-changing. So.
But it's around you. You just have to open your eyes. You can see it, you know. So it's a tough thing to do, but I think it's my personal belief that you, in this industry here, you lose that connection. It's possible to lose that connection, right? And I think it's always worth that reminder.
Yeah, I think that the bigger the entity, the bigger that is.
Well, it becomes very abstract.
Yeah.
So what we're working on becomes extraordinarily abstract. You know, it's something that ends up in, you know, in our case, it's going to be in a vial, right? And you lose the connection, where that goes, where it ends up and what it's going to do, right? For a lot of people, I mean, that's not for everybody, but certainly, especially for a preclinical organization that's not in, you know, working with patients yet or testing in patients, then it's definitely worth that kind of reminder. And somehow our society does a really good job of masking it. Like, you just don't see it. It's remarkable. You just don't see it.
Constantine, what's new at Go Therapeutics?
A lot of very interesting things. So the most exciting thing that I think that we're doing now is developing CAR-Ts from our antibodies. And so we are now engaged in animal studies to evaluate the efficacy and obviously toxicity. So we anticipate a real positive readout. But nonetheless, that is very exciting for us. But that's, of course, layers on top of what I'm most impressed by and most excited about is the fact that we're able to, on a consistent basis, generate quality antibodies to these novel cancer-specific epitopes. So I think we really cracked the nut there. You know, that was the big problem certainly in this field. But now we are consistently developing high-affinity, quality antibodies that are selective to epitopes that are very specific to tumors. And that really opens up the doors to a lot of potential. So we are now translating some of these antibodies in the context of a CAR-T to further demonstrate how they would work as a therapeutic. And then I believe we'll probably advance one or two of those ourselves downstream into the clinic.
When you have the opportunity to tell the Go Therapeutics story, sometimes in very tight little windows of 15 minutes, perhaps to investors, and you get done, you think, I've made it pretty clear. And then they come up afterwards over coffee. Some will say, here's what I heard. And you'll say, great, I made it clear. Others will say, here's what I heard. And you'll think, nah, that's not what I intended. When that happens, when you get the, that's not what I intended, what are the misunderstandings people tend to have? And then how do you go about helping them with that?
What they do ask, or what they may misinterpret, is that we are not a CAR-T company. We're not a cell therapy company. We are not an ADC company. What we are is really a platform company that is able to produce antibodies to these novel class of antigens, which then allows either a partner or ourselves to have the option of developing them into multiple different modalities. Not to say that we would do multiple modalities, but it gives you the option. Because what we have delivered, what we've created, allows you to do that. It really gives you a cancer-specific antibody that will give you a nice therapeutic window for you to really address in the context of a variety of different modalities. We are happy to produce CAR-Ts around them, but really there's nothing stopping a partner or ourselves to doing it as a T-cells bispecific or an ADC. Those are engineering problems because the technologies are there. But really, I think that's that clarity we constantly have to get across. And I think, you know, everybody's got an opinion about platform company, quote unquote. We're really proud to be a platform company because it allows us to routinely develop assets. So we're not a one and done company, and a lot of companies are.
So when you give that explanation, which makes sense to me, although I'm not an investor, do some of those folks who weren't following it say, oh, I get it? Or does someone just filter out and say, well, I'm not interested in a platform company. I'm sure there's some of each.
Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you just don't want to do a platform company. But I think that when they understand really what we're presenting here, it is not necessarily the platform company which they might be thinking about, right? So we're definitely a company that's focused on assets. But we also have a platform that's able to produce those assets. So replenish our pipeline. We don't have to go out and either, you know, scour the earth for new assets to develop. But here we really have a way to rationally go ahead and develop these targets. We've been really successful in doing that with now 7, right? So we'll keep adding to it, mostly for IP reasons, but it really gives the opportunity to address multiple different cancers in multiple different ways.
What kind of partners are a good fit to Go Therapeutics?
I'm a firm believer in partnerships. I think this is, in the business that we're in, the problems we're solving, it really does, you know, at least the vernacular, it takes a village, right? I mean, you have to do it in partnership with multiple different partners. Just due to sophistication, the level of complexity, and what's required to get an idea from idea to drug to patient to market. It's a huge, huge undertaking. So with that said, the partnerships which, you know, that we find valuable and that we look for, have tried to develop and have developed, are certainly with academic institutions, where that science is continually being worked out. So we have that. Large pharma comes in very handy, because they really know how to develop drugs. You know, they can actually develop a drug, and more importantly, they know how to get it into the clinic and move it through, and then ultimately market it. So obviously, I think for any company in our shoes, having a strategic pharma partnership is a huge help. You know, thirdly, for our case, there's a whole constellation of smaller companies that you really need to work with. You know, for our case, for example, we have, you know, 3 different partnerships around antibody development. So the type of antibody that you want, what kind of system you want to use to generate the antibody. So, you know, we've got a variety of partnerships around just the building blocks to getting to where we need to go on a scientific basis. And then, of course, you know, we have downstream implications as well. So, you know, we work with a variety of companies that are thinking through now with us how to, you know, advance the company down to a clinical pathway. But and that's also buttressed by, you know, partnerships which we are also looking into around the different types of modalities. So, for example, if we wanted to develop a T-cell bispecific, there are a number of companies that have really great platforms for that. And so we would look to partner with them. Similarly, if we have a target which is really suitable for antibody drug conjugate, we would similarly look to partner with that type of company that has that focus. So in a nutshell, you know, partnerships are just key. I mean, as a small company, you need to be core to your business.
So to keep your focus, to keep your channels of communication open with so many things in ferment around here, Cambridge, what organizations can you tap into and then tap back out of and get involved with and not get involved with? How do you share your ideas? How do you get new?
I'm a big believer in direct contact, right? So if they're here and I think we have something to show, we have something to say, we have something that's really interesting. So we never have had a problem accessing people, the right people in the right organization. So we're doing that. I'm a big believer in networking generally. I don't think it's necessarily, I don't exclusively do it here. I take a really broad global view. So, And I've done that by virtue. I'll do a name drop here. So the EBD group, for example, a fantastic organization who puts on these partner events around the world that I've been involved with for a long time, have really created a very significant, powerful community that is really focused on partnerships and sharing ideas. And I think if you tap into that, you really have the ability to expand your network, but also, you know, see what's available beyond, you know, the three square miles of Boston, Cambridge, right? You know, it's a big wide world out there. And to be clear, right, our science comes out of Copenhagen, Denmark. Our CSO is in Copenhagen, Denmark, right? So there is really no, so ideas can happen anywhere. Good science happens all over. And you don't have to be here to find it. And if you have that flexibility and open mind, you know, you're probably better off for it.
You're sharply focused on that, running the business day to day and making sure all the data are comprehensible and can be shared, and just all the little things that one has to do in the kind of business that you're in. But you also, from our conversation, I can tell that you're also thinking at times, I could do some real good in the world if this works out the way I hope it will. So sure. When you allow yourself to do that, and I'm sure you can't do it too often, but what goes through your mind?
Yeah, so for me, this is very personal business, right? So I don't have the luxury of not thinking about this on a daily basis, at least that aspect, you know. So I don't talk about this often, but, you know, my 16-year-old daughter passed away this past year from Ewing sarcoma, so very rare cancer. And it happened very quickly. And, you know, so prior to then, it was very abstract what I was doing. But, you know, I think the situation and the experience that my wife and I had around the passing of our daughter and the way she went and the cancer that she had and our experience around that was just so unbelievably profound in so many ways, that it really puts into stark relief a lot of things, but certainly the way you spend your days. And so here and with Go, it has taken on a completely different relevance in our lives, at least my life, certainly, because ironically, we're working on cancers that had affected my daughter. And we have, you know, potentially, you know, a therapeutic in the making that could have addressed maybe some of her tumor. But here, I think for me, there's really no escape it. I can't really not make the connection at all between the purpose of what we're doing on a high level and what I do on a daily basis. I wish it wasn't the case sometimes, frankly. But here, you know, I really, as far, you know, as long as I run this company, it's definitely mission centric, right? Because it can't be anything but that, frankly. And in our context, I also have a partner that shares that. He's an MD, and so he didn't get into this game for, you know, at the end of the day, a financial reason, right? It was really, let's try to take advantage of what we have in terms of the science to develop a better therapeutic that will address some really nasty, nasty cancers, plural. So, you know, that's kind of the way I view it.
Constantine, thanks for spending time with me today.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
When listening to Constantine's thoughts about leadership, three qualities come through again and again: his courage to confront the unknown, his vision for targeting cancer tumors, and his humility when facing the emperor of all maladies. For Constantine, courage starts with equanimity. As he says, launching a biopharma company is not for the faint of heart. You're flying blind a lot of the time, and some people don't like that. But Constantine likes to discover things, which is one reason he's able to move forward without the kind of safety net found in some other fields. As Constantine says, I'm not afraid of the gray area or the darkness that's around a few inches in front of your face, which is really what this business is all about. Another driver for Constantine is his dedication to helping patients with cancer.
His vision for GO Therapeutics is to develop a new class of oncology therapeutics which will exclusively target the tumor and kill the tumor without killing the rest of the patient. Like several of the biopharma founders and CEOs I've spoken with, Constantine had an aha moment. He remembered it as, "It hit me like a bolt of lightning. If you can develop an antibody that would be very selective to a specific antigen, then the rest is engineering. This could open up a whole new biology for cancer therapies. So for me, it's like you see on TV or in a movie, like, pow, there it is." And Constantine has the humility to see cancer as an elusive foe in the longest running war in human history. He understands that while he has a vision for attacking tumors, we're all in this together. He likes to say GO Therapeutics is a jazz ensemble where everybody has a big contribution to make, where his job is to make sure his team has everything they need to be of service to the ultimate mission. I'm John Cimboli. You're listening to BioBoss.